This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. As abandoned churches become widespread across Chicago and the country, more church buildings are being converted to fit new purposes. I mean, who hasn't seen a church be turned into luxury apartments? But how often do abandoned buildings get turned into churches? Well, the Newt Rockne Theater opened in 1925 in the Austin neighborhood. It showed X-rated films while it declined in the 1970s. And today, it's the New Inspirational Baptist Church. Now the church is fundraising to repair the roof. So let's go down memory lane and learn more of the story behind this building. Reset's architecture sleuth Dennis Rodkin recently sat down with WBEZ's Lisa Labas to share those details. Now here's Lisa kicking things off.
The Newt Rockne Theater, it was originally called The Ambassador. What did it look like when it opened in the 1920s?
It was opulent. It was one of those movie palaces like the Chicago Theater you see downtown and some of the others that still remain downtown. It was, when you walked along the street, you had this corner turret and there were urns all across the top. And then you go inside and the photos, of course, I wasn't there in 1925, but the photos make it look like a palace inside. Grand staircase, enormously high ceiling, beautiful gold etched balconies, really a place of fantasy.
Wow. So why were these neighborhood movie palaces so much grander than movie theaters we have today?
Well, first of all, construction was a lot cheaper. Materials were a lot cheaper, but also these were fantasy houses, right? You would go in, people would often go in for the whole day once these buildings were air-conditioned and you were sweltering through a Chicago summer. You'd go into this air-conditioned movie palace, see, and I should say, by the way, this was not built just for movies. This was built for movies and live performances. So you might see an orchestra, see a movie, see a vaudeville act, see comedians, see another movie, spend the whole day in the air conditioning, and then go home back to your ordinary life.
All right. Well, tell me a little bit about the name, the Newt Rockne Theater. What's the story behind the name switch there?
Honestly, Lisa, I find the switch fascinating, and here's why. If you look at any sources online, you will read Newt Rockne died in 1931, and after his death, the movie was renamed in honor of him. Newt Rockne grew up, he was a Norwegian immigrant, but he grew up in Chicago. Mm-hmm. He's a football legend at Notre Dame. He builds the team first as a player, later as a coach. He's this hero, dies in a plane crash in 1931. But the interesting thing is, it's not then that there's this clamoring for naming a theater after him.
Okay.
It's 10 years later. There's a movie made about him in 1940 called Newt Rockne All-American. And one of the stars of the movie was Ronald Reagan playing the Gipper,
yep,
which is a name that clung to Reagan into his presidency. And so this movie portrays Newt Rockne as this wonderful football hero, family man. In the course of the movie, he's courting and dating his future wife. He's just this pillar of Americanism at the time, 1941. So here's a timeline. Listen to this. If you read the Chicago Tribune from early 1941, the movie comes out in late 1940. Early January 1941, it plays at the Ambassador Theater, mm-hmm, out there in Austin. Mid-January 1941, There's an article in the Tribune saying the Ambassador Theater is under new ownership and they're looking for a new name. They're running a contest. So they didn't rename the theater for this recently died football icon. They renamed the theater for a football icon who died a decade ago and then was glorified in a movie, which to me has these great sort of implications about how much the movies really creep into our head. And then the name of the theater remains Newt Rockne from 1941 until 1985.
So why, we're talking about the Austin neighborhood here, why did the neighborhood movie palace in general start to suffer by the 70s?
Well, the neighborhoods are suffering, right? A lot of middle-class people have moved out of the city. There is the rise of the shopping mall and the movie theaters in them. The big palatial old movie theaters are now dated, in many cases not well-maintained, falling apart. And this one certainly was. And it declined to the point where, as you said, it's showing X-rated films. It's an X, this giant movie palace where you can seat 3,500 people. The ceiling is 40 feet high. There's all this opulent decor is where people are going to watch movies with names like Kinko Rama.
Jeez. Okay, that paints a picture for sure. Okay. So tell me, what led the Newt Rockne Theater to become a church? Were there other contenders to be in that space?
I don't know if there were other contenders. What I do know from Reverend Andrew Griffin, who runs the new Inspirational Baptist Church in the building, that at the time, the owner in 1985, the owner is facing all sorts of code violations. The building is falling apart, and he essentially says, I'll give you this church. And he eventually says, I'll give you this theater to put your three-year-old church in if you take care of all those code violations. And so Griffin and his congregation at New Inspirational take the deal. And pretty soon, according to him, the donor just disappears, stops answering phone calls. So they've got a theater on their hands that they're going to turn into a church.
Yes, they do. And what was the process of transforming the building from, you know, a movie palace to a house of worship?
You know, it's really interesting to look at the building. First of all, when you're inside, so I've already said this was a 3,500-seat palace. Ceiling is 40 feet high. The sanctuary of the church is like a box within that box. Essentially, what they did is they built plywood walls and then finished those walls, so they look like finished walls, and in a box that takes up about a third of the floor. And then they put a ceiling on it that is far lower than that original. And what Pastor Griffin said to me is he couldn't afford to heat that whole thing. So they made this smaller space. The other reason that they made it smaller, not just the low ceiling, but the narrower, just taking over a third of the theater, the auditorium, is that he also wanted a catering kitchen and a banquet room. And all those are also on what would have been the floor of the theater back then. And then on the outside, what they did is, this is sort of interesting. They needed money. Remember, they've taken over this building. It has flood water in the basement. They need money. They actually stripped off the old theater marquee to sell as scrap metal.
Oh.
Reverend Griffin, now in his 70s, was in his 30s at the time, he's lifted up in a bucket truck with a welding torch to cut off the sign that says Rockne. They actually themselves did a lot of the work to strip off whatever parts could be sold to fund rehab of what they were keeping.
So, Dennis, when I think about abandoned buildings becoming churches, I kind of get a picture of, you know, big box stores turning into mega churches, but not really historic buildings becoming churches. So how common is this?
Well, you know, we have one other great example in the city. On Roosevelt Road, the old Central Park Theater became a church, has been a church for a very long time, the House of Prayer, Church of God in Christ. Mm. That one you see often in Open House Chicago and other sorts of architectural tours. It's well known. It has an absolutely spectacular facade. The difference is this one in Austin on Division. First of all, you don't quite recognize it as a theater because a lot of, as I said, the marquee is gone and other things have been removed. You still see a turret. And if you're looking at the back of it, if you look off the street, you see what was known as a fly loft. You see a very vertical portion of the building that rises in the back. I had said this was for live theater as well. That would be the place where sets and curtains would be lifted off the stage and up into this. So if you're looking hard, you can tell this is a theater, but really what it looks like is sort of a commercial building that went church.
Got it. So now part of what sparked this conversation is that the church now is raising money for a new roof. Tell us about the continued fundraising and renovation efforts of the former Newt Rockne Theater.
It's pretty urgent. In the time, in the 40 years that they've been in the building, according to Reverend Griffin, they have really just patched the roof year after year, and it got bad. And there are now, I talked about this plywood box. When you go behind it, you're in parts of the old theater, and you see the old balconies and that sort of thing. It's pitch black back there. But when you look up, you can see the hole that has developed in the roof, and it's big enough to drive a car through. It's a big hole in the roof, and they had bricks falling in from upper parts of the building. I walked through on a rainy day, and you could hear the rain coming in. The plywood ceiling below is protected by plastic. So they've got a big job to do. They have an estimate of $55,000 for all of these repairs. They've raised about $10,000, $12,000. They had a big fundraiser last month in May. And so they're able to sort of patch over the hole, but what they're looking for is a permanent fix to that roof.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Aryan Kamar and Meha Ahmed. It was edited by Meha and mixed by Ethan Schwab. For deep dives into Chicago history, please consider subscribing to the podcast to never miss an episode. You can also visit us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again tomorrow.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely